Oh, I read, I'm like, let's get started. Okay, let me tell you a side story. I read an interview with Aaron Mankey, who was talking about success in podcasting, because he's obviously been a very successful podcaster. And he was like, whatever you do, don't have one of those shows where you have like 5 minutes of nonsense chatter before you start the episode. And I'm like, Okay.
Well...
Okay, so full disclaimer, when we were doing our research on this set... Tammy just handed Amanda a lighter, because we've got a bunch of pyros in here.
Yeah.
I didn't put the lighter here.
Well, I have another lighter behind me, actually, because normally I like to light a candle, but this table is so crowded that I don't want to put a candle here, like with all of our equipment. And if I put it behind me, I'll forget that it's burning, and it'll just keep burning when we leave, so I'm not going to do that. So when we meet the next time and we're in our new space, then we'll find a spot for a candle, because you know my feelings on candles and the ambiance.
We can actually center the podcast setup around the candle spot.
It's like a summoning.
Right. Okay. Well, sure.
What are we summoning?
Have you ever seen that graphic? It's like how to summon me on a Monday morning, and it's a pentacle, but like at each point of the star is a cup of coffee with a pot of coffee in the middle.
Yeah.
I'm like, yes, that is true.
Sounds right.
Okay, so I know when we were doing research for this set of episodes, it's been a little, like, life and work has been a little exhausting lately, and trying to find time to fit them all in was a little...
Hectic.
Yeah.
Dicey at best, maybe.
Right.
I mean, we all were kind of like, 2 days ago, we're like, are you going to be finished? Are you going to be finished?
Mm-hmm. It was a struggle.
Yeah,
I finished yesterday.
That's all right. Nothing wrong with short. Mine is random.
Okay.
So we're just going to jump in.
Let's go.
That has become my thing. Every episode, I'm like, let's just jump in.
Let's just take a journey.
Okay. So today we're in South Carolina.
Okay.
Been there?
Yes.
Yes, you have. You were talking about that not that long ago.
Well, I went to South Carolina from North Carolina. So I've been to Myrtle Beach. That's about
it. Okay.
I have not.
I haven't either. I mean, it looks gorgeous. I've always wanted to go to Charleston. We talked about that for a girls' trip, but I think the flights were too expensive and we went somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Well, I'm very interested in going to South Carolina. It is a state that's known for its southern charm. Mm. What people don't know is that the Palmetto State is also a hotbed for urban legends, from weird creature sightings to the spirit of the first female serial killer in American history. Creepy South Carolina has a terrifying underbelly that's definitely not sugar sweet.
Mm. Yeah, it's just not surprising to me.
You'll never like my bad puns.
I giggled.
Sorry.
Tammy, like, kind of was like, yeah, stupid, but all right. And Amanda, like, groaned audibly. Okay, so one of the oldest states in the Union, South Carolina has seen plenty of history, including the bloodshed of the Civil War and the horrors of slavery. Even before becoming a state, it was a home to sailors, pioneers, and Native Americans who blended together their stories of mysticism and horror. Some of these stories originate from folklore, while others are straight out of the headlines. Dead pirates, hurricane ghosts, and headless ghouls, South Carolina's scary stories genuinely have everything. These urban legends surprise, scare, and delight. Whether you're hoping to see ghostly lights on train tracks, behind a church graveyard, or come across a skin-stealing boo hag in person, there is no better place to do it than the terrifyingly charming and uniquely haunted state of South Carolina.
What did you call me?
Yep.
A skin-stealing boo hag.
I just need you to hang on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm ready.
So I just listed a lot of different things.
You sure did.
We're not hitting all of those.
Okay.
That's too many. But we are hitting a lot, probably more than I've ever done, because we've got lots of short, quick hits.
Okay.
Some of that was the reality of the research I could find. Some of that was my genuine time constraints. I mean, normally I'm a pretty timely, well-researched person. This was a little bit of a challenge. But we're going to fit in, rather than do one long subject, we're going to do kind of quick hits and fit in a little bit more. So I thought we could start with a good old-fashioned murder.
Sure.
Good old-fashioned, huh?
Good old-fashioned murder. This is the legend of Lavinia Fisher, America's first female serial killer.
I have heard of her.
Yes.
I have not.
Okay. Well, if you listen to any true crime podcast, you've probably heard some version of this. So this one should feel familiar. It's a well-known story. It's been covered on a lot of other podcasts, but bear with me. So according to legend, Lavinia Fisher was the first female serial killer in America. She and her husband, John, ran the 6 Mile House, which was a place for weary travelers to rest north of Charleston. Lavinia would serve poison tea to her victims, who were usually wealthy men, and then tuck them into a specific bed. A bed that had a trap door beneath it. This doesn't sound familiar?
No.
Tammy's nodding. I know that she knows this story. With the pull of a lever, the body would fall into a pit beneath the house, and then John would rob their corpses. So she'd poison them. They would pass. She'd dump them in the trap.
Goodness.
And then rob the corpses.
It's very Sweeney Todd without the knife.
Without the knife. One night, a man named John Peoples stopped over. After being invited to tea, he discreetly dumped the cup into a nearby plant because he didn't actually like tea and didn't want to be rude.
Uh-huh.
So, finding Lavinia and her husband a little bit creepy, he claimed that he was tired and went to bed. But he didn't go to bed. He actually sat in a chair by the door, and while he was sitting there, he watched the bed collapse into the pit below the house. He was terrified.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He jumped out the window and ran straight to Charleston, where he reported everything to the police. They are said to have found all the bodies of Lavinia Fisher's victims upon investigating. The Fishers were executed in 1820, and according to local legend, her spirit still haunts the Charleston jail where she was hanged.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Something about, like, I'm just imagining laying in a bed, and it just, what if he hadn't gone to, oh God, that'd be terrible.
Right, like if he wasn't dead, but he had gone to it. Because
yes.
I think normally, the way I interpreted this is the poison kills them.
Right.
Because I'm like, well, what if they didn't die when they fell? And then I'm like, no, because they were dead before, and the bed
right.
was just the disposal.
Exactly.
Yeah, can you imagine you just laying there in bed, and suddenly you fall?
He didn't have the tea, but then went to bed anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Lucky he was sitting in the chair.
Good job for you, Mr. Peoples.
Probably sitting in the chair watching the door because he found them creepy.
Yeah.
Bet you'll check your hotel bed a little better now.
That's right.
Oh, God.
Okay. This is the story of the Blue Lady.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The old lighthouse on Hilton Head Island, South Carolina, is haunted by the ghost of a little girl named Caroline, though she is most often referred to as the Blue Lady. Her father was the lighthouse keeper and is said to have drowned in the hurricane of 1898. With no one else to keep the lighthouse fires burning, Caroline took it upon herself, delivering oil to the top of the tower again and again, until finally, on one of her trips to the ground, the sea claimed her.
Oh.
Since then, many locals and visitors to the island say that they've seen Caroline wearing a blue dress and searching for her father. It's said if you drive by the lighthouse, you can hear her crying, and she's also known to manifest right before hurricanes and during the fall hurricane season.
Poor Caroline. I don't like that.
No, it's kind of sad.
Yeah.
Lots of ghost stories in South Carolina.
Yeah.
So we're going to move on from the Blue Lady to the Gray Man.
Okay.
This is another hurricane ghost. Now, hurricanes, something we don't deal with really for the most part in Texas.
Right.
We don't live on the Gulf Coast.
Right.
I know that, you know, Houston does, but pretty massive, right? Like, we've been watching the news. I know this episode will air long after right now when we're recording, but Hurricane Ida did a ton of damage on the northeast coast and in New Orleans. So they can be pretty devastating.
Mm-hmm.
If you spot the Gray Man in Pawleys Island, go home.
Okay.
The story of the Gray Man begins in the 1820s. The legend says he's a cloaked figure who wanders the beaches ahead of major storms. One woman claimed she saw the ghost in 1954, right before Hurricane Hazel. Another rumored sighting was before Hurricane Hugo in 1989, and then again 2018's Hurricane Florence. So locals around Pawley Island have described encounters with the Gray Man before every major hurricane in the past century. He warns them of the dangers of the coming storm and tells them to leave the island. If they leave, the stories say, their house survives untouched.
Oh, wow.
Like most ghosts, the Gray Man's story is one of young, lost love. The man is rumored to have been traveling from Charleston to propose when his horse got stuck in the mud. He was thrown off, trapped, and drug under.
Oh. That's unfortunate.
Very unfortunate. Heartbroken, the woman would walk along the beach. One day, she saw her late boyfriend dressed all in black, and he warned her that a serious storm was coming and then vanished. As the story goes, a hurricane made landfall, and her home was the only one left standing.
Oh.
He is a friendly ghost, and if you're lucky enough to spot him, your house might be untouched in the next storm.
Okay.
So, he's kind of good luck, even though it's sort of a sad story.
Yeah.
That's a horrible story. But, yeah, I mean...
Something good came of it, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just going on torturing.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's nice to know there are some apparitions that are good.
Yeah.
We got our backs.
Although, listen, not to completely derail, although that's all I ever do, but my favorite apparition is still the one that Tammy told of the...
Goody Cole.
Yes, yeah,
mine too.
She was great.
Yep.
All right, this next story is really creepy, and I really hate the name, and this is the story of the Boo Hags.
Why is it... Never mind. I'm curious. Let's go.
Amanda, you may want to leave your lights on tonight.
Oh, no.
So...
The dread on your face.
Tell me why Amanda agreed to do an urban legend podcast with us when she's terrified of everything That's we true. Talk about. I never think about it again. I sleep very soundly.
You know, I don't think about it near as much as I used to when I used to do the research.
Oh, yeah.
I would be like, I can't do it when Tim's not home. Like, yeah. I can't do it. I just, no, not about it.
Yeah.
But now it's gotten a little bit better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Good to know.
I just wanted to hang out with you guys is all.
That's all right.
No, it's fine.
It's like, this is my reason. Okay.
You don't have to give in to peer pressure. It's okay. Okay, so this is actually South Carolina's most popular urban legend, according to Thrillist, and this is the story of the Boo Hag. While it's
every time you say it,
Boo Hag. While it sounds something more likely to have been yelled at a person being prosecuted during the Salem witch trials, according to legend, it's far more sinister.
Oh, boo you hag! I made myself laugh.
Louisiana may be famous for its Creole culture, but South Carolina is known for the gullahs. I hope I said that right. I should have looked up
gullah.
Gullah? Okay, yeah. The gullahs. The way of life, shared by about 500,000 descendants of enslaved people up and down the coast, brought spirits known as boo hags to South Carolina folklore. Gullahs, who have ties to voodoo, are concentrated in the Carolinas and believe that when people die, their spirit stays behind on Earth. If that spirit is bad, it will become a boo hag. Boo hags are skinless beings that creep into people's homes in the low country.
Not skinless.
Skinless beings. The spectral...
Not skinless.
You'd be okay if they had skin?
I mean, I'd prefer it, yeah.
I'd prefer to never see one, so...
Yeah.
I prefer my beans and my fried chicken with skin on them, thank you.
Oh my, all right. The spectral creatures use spells to manipulate people and feed off of them when they sleep. They are crafty, corpse-like spirits that smell like rotting flesh and steal a living person's skin to move around undetected during the day, essentially masquerading as that person. At night, they shed their skin and look for a new person on whom to feed or, as in gullah terminology, ride. If you wake up exhausted after a full night's rest, they say you may have been visited by a boo hag and you don't even know it.
No. There's a really...
I'm upset.
Y'all, there's a good reason I did not know about these in my early 20s, because I swear I would have been visited by one.
But how often do you wake up and you know that... Like,
too often.
I had 9 hours of sleep last night, and I woke up and I'm like, I could sleep 12 more.
Yeah, no, that's not okay. Mm-hmm. I've always been terrified of being, like, possessed by an evil spirit.
That's not something I've ever thought of.
Oh my god, really?
No, never.
Wow. Well, that comes with being scared of literally everything.
Scared of life.
I just... not okay with the idea of something riding my skin all night. That's not...
Ew!
Don't tell me, it's what she said.
I didn't make it up. I just did the research.
The boo.
Boo hag? I feel like that should have been, like, boo hag sounds like something it should have been in Hocus Pocus. Doesn't it?
I just keep saying, isn't it, what is it, the Princess Bride?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Boo.
That's the boo hag.
I'm always here for a Princess Bride reference.
I much prefer that one to this one.
I can just see her face now.
Yeah. When she first said it, that's all I could think of.
Tammy was smirking until she found out what it was.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. This is the story of the Third Eyed Man.
Oh, we get to hear more. Okay.
Oh, we still have a couple more pages, but you know I talk fast, so we're still only at 16 minutes. We're doing fine.
Yeah.
Okay, is it a university if it doesn't have its own ghost story? In my opinion, no.
Okay.
I think universities, especially when we're talking about like the older parts of our country where they're several hundred years old, they all must have a ghost story. You know, I love a good haunted collegiate tale. The Third Eyed Man dates back to 1949 when students claimed to have spotted him in the University of South Carolina's tunnels. The tunnels, dubbed the catacombs, are supposedly haunted by the university's own Phantom of the Opera.
Oh,
my. Mm-hmm. The third-eyed man is reportedly, you guessed it, a person with a third eye. They didn't get very creative with the name.
Uh-huh. Okay.
The first sighting occurred in 1949 when two students claimed to see a strange man in silver scuttle into a sewer entrance near the Long Street Theater. 6 months later, a police officer reported a gray and terrifying man with a third eye in the middle of his forehead crouched over a mutilated chicken. But by the time the officer's backup arrived, the man had disappeared into the sewer.
Okay.
No one has ever found any physical evidence of the mysterious third eye man, but he has been sighted numerous times over the years. The university has since sealed its tunnels, so students can't get into them, and perhaps that is for their own protection.
Yeah. I hate the word catacomb.
Why?
Because it just sounds creepy.
You would never visit the Paris catacombs, would you? I probably would.
I probably would, let's be honest. I think historical stuff.
I'm not sure if you've met her, but she may be scared of everything. She's also a glutton for punishment.
That's
so.
Is true.
Okay, not wrong.
You're a mess. So because this is the South, it didn't surprise me at all that there's a section on the University of South Carolina's website that is devoted to ghost stories. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read part of the excerpt to you now, and though it sounds like it could have been written by me, I swear this is directly from the source. So, quote, "Here at the University of South Carolina, we love spooky season." "And seeing that U of SC is 200 years old, we have plenty of ghost stories to tell around the campfire. In fact, every year, our university ambassadors lead campus ghost tours for students and Columbia residents. But since things look a little different this year, keep reading to hear all about ghosts on our campus." This was written at the beginning of the pandemic, so that's why they're talking. Mm. This was actually for last school year.
Mm. Gotcha.
That's why things look a little different this year is in the text. Okay, so back to the quote. "Where else would we start our spooky stories than the oldest part of campus? The Horseshoe, a U-shaped cluster of buildings at the heart of our university, holds the Carolina Library, student housing, and the McKissick Museum. And living among the buildings are several mysterious tales. At the end of the Horseshoe, the McKissick Museum is supposedly haunted by its namesake, James Ryan McKissick. McKissick was a beloved president of the university until his sudden death in 1944. So much that U of SC students successfully petitioned to have the president's body buried on campus. Those who work in the museum report hearing footsteps at night and feeling cool breezes indoors. Objects mysteriously move around, and they're believed to have been moved by the president himself because, if you've got it, haunt it, right?"
That does sound like it could have been written by you.
I know. I read this and I was like, Aaron, did you do this in your sleep?
It was the boo hag.
Do you work for the U of SC? Tammy is still not impressed by this boo hag. I wish we had moved on
from the boo hag.
All right. De Saussure College, another building on the Horseshoe, is currently used as an upperclassman dormitory and office building, but it has taken on many other purposes in the past. During the Civil War, it served as a hospital and became the university's first medical school from 1866 to 1873. And one wing was also used during the Reconstruction era as a federal military prison. Several of our students are believed to have heard footsteps and voices of Civil War soldiers that haunt the building. Just across the Horseshoe on Green Street, another campus building also upholds its seriously spooky reputation, and that is Longstreet Theater, which most students pass on their way to classes. It holds more history than one would expect. The building, now used for U of SC theater and dance productions, was also used as a hospital and makeshift morgue during the Civil War. Strange sightings, eerie noises, and doors randomly slamming shut have scared countless witnesses. One not-so-ghostly and supposedly completely fictional, by the way, story on campus. Let me read that sentence again. One not-so-ghostly and supposedly completely fictional, by the way, story on campus is the legend of the Third Eye Man. Dating back to 1949, a disfigured man with a third eye has been reported to be stalking through the underground utility tunnels in the city, often referred to as the catacombs, even terrorizing students and spooking campus residents for years. Fortunately, many of these tunnels are now sealed off so students can no longer access them. Bye-bye, Mr. Third Eye.
I wish you had written that.
Doesn't it sound like something I would write? So I put that in. and obviously, end quote. So I wanted to keep that in because normally I would have moved that piece like up with the third eye since I had already covered it. But this was, I wanted to take that excerpt completely and see that it was addressed in multiple places. So even the university has said, like, yes, we've heard this.
Yeah.
Maybe it's real. Probably it's not. Yes, it was funny. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Mr. Third Eye.
All right, just one more.
Okay.
And my final story is the tale of Julia Legar. Another South Carolina myth that has reached urban legend proportions is the death of Julia Legar. Julia Legar was the 22-year-old daughter of a wealthy Adistio Island family who fell ill, was pronounced dead, and was entombed in the family mausoleum in 1852, according to the South Carolina Picture Project. Years later, another member of the Legar family died, and when the tomb was opened up, the remains of Julia were found outside of her coffin.
Uh-oh.
According to The Insider, which ranks her death as one of the top urban legends in South Carolina, the story says that Julia had actually been in a coma.
Ooh.
Woke up and tried to escape her tomb.
Oh, no. See?
Mm-mm. Very sad. So what makes the sad story haunted is what happened after the discovery. The door to the crypt would not stay shut, no matter what church elders did to seal it. This is, again, quoted from the South Carolina Picture Project. They said that scratch marks were continually found on the open door on the inside, even when the door was replaced. So the door was removed in an attempt to appease Julia's spirit, which is said to haunt the crypt to this day, per the Charleston City paper.
Oh, coming after everybody. Now I'm sick.
It is a bad way to go.
Now I'm sick.
That's worse than the boo hug. South Carolina is off my list of anything.
I've left you with a lot to contemplate.
Oh. Now I'm going to be scared every time I wake up exhausted. Like, oh, the boo hacking. At it again.
Thanks for listening to Salt Over Your Shoulder, a Redwater production.
We appreciate your support. Your download allowed our crazy idea to gain steam and make it into your podcast directories.
We couldn't do this without you. If you'd like to continue your support, you can engage with us on social media, on Twitter and Instagram at SaltThePod, or follow us on Facebook at SaltOverYourShoulder. You can also email us at saltoveryourshoulder@gmail.com.
Special thanks to the one and only Andrew York for our awesome graphic.
If you'd like to continue your support, please consider giving us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast directory. This helps other people find us as well.
You can also become one of our patrons at patreon.com/saltthepod.
See you next time.